Let's turn, please, in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 17, verse 15. Last week we tried to understand best we could what is meant by the woman who rides the beast, the identity of the woman, the identity of the beast, Mystery Babylon. And this week we're going to see this Mystery Babylon city destroyed. And just as a lead-in, you know, 17 leads into 18, so we're going to recover verses 15 to 18 in Revelation, where it says, "Then he said to me, 'The waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues.'" And we felt like that this woman, this harlot, has been around since Babylon of old. It's been the idolatrous rebellion against God that's lasted forever. So it's been multitudes, peoples, and nations, and tongues forever, because that Babylon spirit of Nimrod that caused the nations to be confounded in their language, it started all right there, and it was taken into all those languages when people went off to go rebel to the farthest reaches of the world. But it's going to be, again, applicable to the last days. This last days Babylon is going to still apply to all the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues living in a time future to us. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot. Now, this is last days. This is the ten horns of the ten-nation world empire. The beast system, government system, will hate the harlot, ultimately hate her, make her desolate towards the end of the tribulation with the Antichrist ruling and declaring himself to be God and putting to death all the harlotry of idol-worshipping gods as he will turn on the religious system. See, the world leaders are using the religious system to bring about world government. And I wasn't even going to say this. The thought just came to my mind. I mean, who's America's pastor? Who's been advertised in the media as America's pastor? It's been Rick Warren. What does Rick Warren belong to? The Council of Foreign Relations. It's a globalist organization committed to global government. Who is the one that marketed him and his book and everything about what he does? They took a smart guy. Rick Warren is an extremely smart guy. And they recognize that. Who marketed him? Rupert Murdoch. And who's Rupert Murdoch? A globalist, member of several globalist societies, marketed him. What has Rick Warren done? He's tried to unite the religious energies of the world to do something other than preaching Jesus and the exclusive gospel of Jesus Christ, to try and yoke Protestantism with Catholicism, to undo the Protestant Reformation. That's been his goal. He calls the Pope his Pope. And so the world system uses harlotry, the denial of the pure, simple gospel of Jesus Christ, the one that Paul preached, to what? To try and unify the religious energies of the world to bring about global government. Because globalists know, you know, you got all this religious stuff, you got the Jews and the Muslims and everything else, and they're trying to get it all to go away, to get everybody to go along. And that's what's going to be required during the beginning days of the New World Order. No one's going to be able to say their religion's the only religion. And everything's going to be the three-legged stool. Government, corporations, and what's the third? People working together to solve the world's problems. That's going to be the gospel, the good news of the New World Order religious system. Let's just go do good things for people. So it's the woman riding the beast. I just want to emphasize that. That's what's been going on all along. But at the very end of the tribulation period, the government system is going to dump the religious harlot and destroy her, turn against her and the alliance that was made, according to the Word of God, if I'm understanding this correctly. And verse 17, For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast. So the ten-nation empire is going to give their authority to the beast, who is the Antichrist, ruling with the power of Satan, until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So this woman is going to be wrapped up, this global empire, woman riding the beast, government, everything else. There is going to be a city on this earth that is going to rule the earth. And now chapter 18 is going to talk about its destruction, this city's destruction. And there's going to be some headquarters, global spiritual oppression headquarters in the world. I don't really think we can know where exactly this place is today, as we'll go on and look at these verses. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. Chapter 18, verse 1. Verse 2. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, the great is fallen and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison of every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. And there again, blackbirds, other things, the symbology of birds in the scriptures are evil, evil spirits, demons. This city is going to be known as, during the tribulation period, it's going to be where witchcraft, voodoo, everything is just completely in charge of the city. And those people that have been to New Orleans and understood the darkness that's there, it's the voodoo capital of America. And I know people, I have never been to New Orleans. People that have told me that have gone there that have a fear of God, they say it's a very extremely dark, spiritually dark and licentious, evil, wicked place. Anybody been to New Orleans? Can you agree with that? Yeah, head nods. Absolutely dark place. I think Babylon is going to, according to this angel, the Babylon that's going to be destroyed during the tribulation period is going to make New Orleans look like a Sunday school meeting. It's going to be wicked. Every foul spirit, the demons, are going to be there. And for all the nations of the world during the tribulation period have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And this has been true throughout all of human history. The idolatry, rejection of God has caused this to happen. But again, there's a late fulfillment in the tribulation period. All the nations have drunk. See, at this time, at the time of the destruction of Babylon, who's still alive on earth? For the most part, with a few exceptions, the people alive have taken the mark of the beast because they're deceived by the foul spirits of the Antichrist. And the demons that were deceiving the people to worship the Antichrist and the image of the beast and to take his name on their hand. And that has allowed them to be in the commerce system. And if we're already down to a half, clearly the Bible teaches a half of the world's population. The globalists today have the granite stones in Georgia set up that said the ideal population of the world is 500 million. So if you reduce the population of the world down to 500 million, because that's what the self-sustaining, that in their view, that's how many people have to be killed to cause the world to have a utopia set up. Well, you could have a pretty big utopia if you're only taking care of 500 million people. And all the death and destruction you had to create to bring this supposed utopia. So the nations are going to drink of this deception. The nations that are alive have drunk of the deception. They have gone into spiritual idolatry, rejected the true God, believed in these kings telling them, and the woman who rides the beast, this global religion and what's required, and the Antichrist saying that you must worship me, and the devil himself personified in him, and maybe angelic beings materializing, demon creatures materializing and deceiving the world, and everybody's drunk with the wine of the fornication. That's happening during the tribulation period. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. And I would say the true church has heeded that warning of verse 4, which is applied for 1900 years. Because again, if the woman is idolatrous Babylon, that's been in history since Babylon. And if I was a Christian reading Revelation and 100 AD, 200 AD, 300 AD, all the way up until now, I'd be saying, I see this idolatrous Babylonian system here in the world. And what God is saying, get out of her. Don't be part of her. Don't in any way. John, the apostle, closes out his first epistle, my little children, flee from idolatry. Because that's the system of the world. And, you know, the first century, second century, you don't want to bow down to Caesar. You were fed to the lions or crucified or worse. And what was God saying through the letters here? He was saying, come out of her. Whatever it costs, come out of the idolatrous system of the world. Lest you receive her plagues. Throughout history, death and suffering in hell, tribulation, the plagues that have occurred. See, during the tribulation period, God's going to be speaking to the people in verse 4 that are left behind, that are now tribulation saints. He's saying, you're going to suffer the plagues that are coming upon the earth. If you do not, and for instance, the world system, the harlot of the day will say, take the name of the Antichrist because you got to worship him, somebody other than God. That's idolatry. What's the plague? One of the plagues is you take his name, you're going to suffer boils that break out on your body. And it's okay to take the plague of people who persecute us, right? Because they can plague us too. God is saying, don't come out from her so that you don't receive the plague. Some people say, well, if I come out, if I go against the system, they're going to plague me with torture and death. And God says, well, what's worse? The torture and death at the hands of people because you're coming out of their idolatrous system, or the torture and death associated with the one who can send your soul to heaven or hell? I mean, isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus says, don't fear those. Don't fear those that can only kill your body, but fear him who has the power over your soul and to cast it into hell or into heaven. And so what God is warning the listeners is, come out, don't worry about what they're going to do, because they're going to be judged in the end. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. And then I think to understand verse 6, you should, parenthetically put in God. See, this angel that's giving this message, it's like he turns to God and he says to God, render her to her, this harlotry system on the earth, just as she rendered to you in the rebellion against God, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed double for her. So, in other words, there's an appeal. God, you're about to judge them. They've been fighting you, killing your saints, everything else. Mix it double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Those who have ruled in the spirit of Babylon over the centuries, millennia, the headquarters of the Babylonian system on earth, wherever and whenever it was reigning, has the leaders living in luxury. Do the popes of the past live in luxury? And what are they reigning over? And this is so politically incorrect, but it's true. It's an idolatrous system. It is worshiping Mary. It is worshiping the saints. It is bowing down to them. That is what God says. Don't make a statue and bow down to it and worship it. I'm alone your God. Don't do that. That is, anybody that's bowing to anything, whittled by the hand or anything, it's idolatry. It's the Babylonian system that's ruled in the name, and is so crazy to get the name of Christianity in our generation. And they've lived in luxury. They might have oppressed others that are outside of it, but there's always been a class that rules the world religiously, politically, that they live in luxury and say, nobody's going to get me. And I'm not going to sorrow. I sit as queen and am no widow. Therefore, verse 8, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. During the tribulation, it is going to be a city, a ruling place on earth, and it is going to be the nerve center. It's going to be known over the whole world as the nerve center. Is there today a place that's known as the merchant nerve center, government nerve center, and religious nerve center of the world? Is there? No, there isn't. And people say Rome. Rome is not, it is not the governmental. People will say the Pope mixes with the government leaders, but the Pope is subservient to the real powers of the government today. He is the religious, he's the woman riding the beast right now, one of many of the women portions riding the beast. The caliphs and others are being ruled by the beast also. But it's not the commercial nerve center. We're going to see this is a commercial nerve center too. And not, Rome doesn't come up as number one as, man, that's the place where all the merchants of the world are getting rich. It just doesn't. And we're going to see. But it's this place that's going to be in the future that I have not a clue where it is. But this place during the tribulation period is going to be destroyed in one day, is what the Bible is telling us very clearly. Wherever it is, God's going to deal with it. The kings of the earth, of the ten nations, because in the end, when this is destroyed, the kings of the earth are the kings over the ten nations of the world empire, who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her, will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Now, so these kings are probably at times coming to this Babylon to rule with the Antichrist, to make their decisions, having their little meetings and everything. But what's going to happen is they're going to lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Now, if these ten kings are a global empire, how do they see the smoke of her burning? Because they're watching on TV. And this is another thing. How would these kings be watching her, standing afar off, seeing her burning? How are all the kings of the world doing this? Well, today it would be on TV. The king, verse 10, the kings, because that's the context. Verse 9, the kings, starts out the kings. Verse 10 is still talking about the kings. They're going to be lamenting and when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment. So, maybe there will be a warning of her burning. Maybe they'll say, whoa, Babylon is having earthquakes. You have to remember what's happening to the whole world right now. Whole world is going through cataclysmic disasters. Earthquakes, Jesus said, during the tribulation period, earthquakes are going to spring up in diverse places. And we know at the very end, when Jesus comes back, it's a global earthquake. And so right now, today, in Japan, in what's called H-A-K-O-N-E, Hakone, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that Japan right, but in Hakone, the alert has been raised at Japan's Hakone as earthquakes continue. A flurry, hundreds and hundreds of earthquakes at this place that hasn't erupted since 1200. And, you know, the satellite photo of the plume of steam coming out there, the parking lot of this really nice-looking building and everything, because it's a visitor center. The Japanese like to go to these little hot springs all over Japan. It was an island built by volcanoes. And so what if what happens is all of a sudden there's this earthquake and volcanic misting and steam coming out, and they're worried about a big plume eruption, and the kings of the world say, "Well, we can't go meet there right now for the fear of her torment, for the fear of what's coming on." Again, standing at a distance for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." Then they see it. You know, they set cameras up. Oh, there's earthquake activity. Oh, a little volcano over here. It's misting. Oh, it looks like it might rumble. It might explode. And then one, bam, in 1 hour. Whether it's volcanic, whether it's fire from God, whatever it is, they'll stay away from it for fear of what's coming, and then they'll see it completely destroyed. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys her merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, which could be a 90-some A.D. version of cars, trucks, and SUVs. I mean, you know, John could have been told by God, God could have said, or the angel could have said, you could put trucks and cars and SUVs here, but yeah, they probably won't figure that out for about 1900 years, so just say chariots. And bodies and souls of men. Now that everything's pretty understandable is, hey, what the rich and famous like, right? This is all rich and famous stuff. But what it says, and the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys her merchandise, buys bodies and souls of men. You know, everything makes sense until you get to the end, right? Until somebody's buying bodies, buying souls. You know, I don't know what that means. Bodies, it could be, you know, just dealing with prostitution kind of issues, which is rampant in the world. It could be the extreme market in the world today for harvesting body parts, that they're murdering people and killing them. A lot of the ISIS stuff, there's rumors. I'll just say it's rumors because I can't prove it. But they're saying some of this, what's going on in ISIS is it's they're killing them and then harvesting the organs to be able to sell to make money for the war mission, kidneys and other things that are getting harvested. Bodies and souls. How about souls? You know, on Sunday I mentioned during this study that Katy Perry, you know, she said it. I don't know what she meant. I could ask her. I mean, somebody can call her and ask her, write her. When you said that you sold your soul to the devil, what did you exactly mean to that? Well, I mean, what did you get? But see, what I meant, because I didn't define it, somebody that was in the service that is not a believer, says he's not a believer, had lunch with him today, young man, he was really bothered by that. How does somebody sell their soul to the devil? I went home and I tried to find out how, and they say you can't do it. You got to force your soul on the devil. No, you just have to offer. I'll serve you, devil. You, what are you going to give me? And it's not hard. And there's so many stories. And I told him, I said, do you realize how many accounts there are of, you know, rock bands, hardcore Satanist rock bands that the stars will say, we want a hit song. And somebody tells them, hey, you just serve Satan. You call on the powers of Satan and his demons, you'll get songs like we did. And so then they do it. All of a sudden they get the song, they get the music, and just they write it out, they get the music, it becomes a national hit. And what I've decided to do is, okay, I'm gonna go search. I've heard it. It's even been on TV, some of these testimonies from these guys that are still alive because they broke away from that. And the account, again, that I had of the Sudanese, there was a guy from Uganda who said his cousin was wondering why when he set up a shop, he set up a shop, and in Uganda their shops are like, you know, just garbage wood. They pick from the street and they set it up. There's a little window. They have their goods. They sell it in the street, and there's other ones right next door. It's just like one little window thing, and you're selling whatever you want to sell. And he noticed that he was selling the same stuff as these guys and these guys. Nobody would come to his window. What's your guys' secret? Well, you want to know the secret? Just come with us. We'll show you to the witch doctor. And the witch doctor told him what he needed to do. And the demons required that in exchange for him to become popular and being a good businessman there in Uganda, it would cost him his son. So what did he have to do? To sell his soul to the devil, he had to make the agreement, okay, you got my son, make me rich. A few months later, his son dies. And that's the deal. It's not like you have to sacrifice your son. The demons just have to get permission. His son dies. He became wealthy. Yeah, watch it again. Again, you know, did this guy make it up that's telling me this account from Uganda? Uganda, the place where the LRA, this total demoniac, everybody in the government knows that Joseph Kony is this incredibly possessed of demons. Northern Uganda, full of demonic witchcraft activity. I believe the guy that gave that account, and you can watch it on our YouTube station on the website. And so people are doing that. And maybe it's saying they were buying their merchandise anymore. Their merchandise, the souls of men. Witchcraft. Sorcery. People selling themselves to the devil. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you. And you shall find them no more at all. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, you're done. This city, for those that even are going to miss the rapture and be into the tribulation, should somehow listen to this MP3. That global trade center that the whole world goes, man, you go to this city and you have, that is the city. Religious, government, commercial, mecca of the world. Whatever that city is, you're going to watch it destroyed at the end of the tribulation period. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. And for years I thought, well, whatever this city has to be, because it's going to go on the merchants from the sea. I'm going to say, well, they would have had to have been within eyeshot. So this, whatever the city is, it has to be within eyeshot of where a ship is on the ocean, because they're going to be seeing this. And then I'm thinking, Kevin, again, people can see everything today. They can stand afar off because they see on TV what is happening. So the merchants of these things, all the people that have sent their wares to this Mecca city, commercial city, that then distributes it to those that are conforming with the New World Order, they're going to stay afar off because it's gone. It all blew up. Our business blew up. And saying, verse 16, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed with fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who traveled by ships, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? Now, again, that's the one that made me think Harway. Now, let's say that do you know what the greatest shipping port in tonnage in the world is? What country do you think it is? What would be your guess? China. In fact, here's the ratings from 1 until we finally get down to the United States, which is 13. China, China, Singapore, China, Netherlands, China, 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 South Korea, Australia, Hong Kong, China, United States. And there's people that have told me, Kevin, it's New York, Wall Street, New York, everything else. And the ships would be standing afar off watching, New York trades in a yearly basis 228,000 thousands of tons. And, okay, yes, 228, compared to this China city, I won't botch the name by trying to pronounce it, 744,000. So that's quite a difference. So, again, but we have to remember the whole world. New York could be nuked and gone. L.A. could be gone. All these places of the world, by the time the tribulation gets going, there's been global conflict and war that necessitates the need for a global government to be formed, to go from 190 whatever nations there are now down to 10, because the world is demanding we can't do this anymore. We can't have this conflict anymore. We've got to have a global financial system so we don't have this global meltdown anymore. And we're so far, we're not so far, but we can't discern the nations and cities today to know what's going to be happening when all the dust settles from all that. But there is going to be a place during the tribulation period that is going to fit the bill of chapter 18 perfectly. They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. And so let's say that it's in Babylon, literal Babylon. And people say, well, literal Babylon is 300 miles away from the Gulf. It is. The ruins of Babylon is 300 miles away from the Gulf. Let's say it gets rebuilt. I don't know what's going to happen. Let's say it gets rebuilt. As soon as the ship leaves China, if there's any China left, America, whatever else, and they're going there, they're going to see it the second it gets broadcast on TV. They're going to stand afar off. Oh, let's not go there anymore. It's gone. It's completely destroyed. And gone. And I don't think that there's any current city that fits this prophecy to a T, so I don't know what's going to happen during the tribulation. God knows. And John knows. And the angels know, because they've already seen it. And few people on the world could be living in this kind of luxury and worried about what happens. But here's what heaven says. Here's what people say in heaven, which is going to include us. This is our line here. Verse 20 is our song. We get to rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. So the city that is drunk with the blood of the saints is going to be destroyed. And all the havoc that she did in creating martyrs the world over are going to be singing the song. Then a mighty angel took up a stone and a great millstone, threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. And maybe God destroys it with fire, which is what it says, burned up in 1 hour. And then maybe this angel comes out and throws a meteor on top, closes the lid on Babylon. I don't know. But symbolically throwing a millstone, a grinding stone for grinding up the wheat. And the sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in her anymore. No joyful parties, no craftsmen of any craft shall be found in her anymore. Nothing ever to be built again. The sound of the millstone shall not be heard, nothing to be eaten again. The light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore, for your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. There is going to be, the rich and famous are going to be in the basements doing sorcery, witchcraft on the inhabitants of the world to deceive them, voodoo. And again, talk to Pastor Andre Luis when he comes here again, read his book about voodoo in Haiti, and listen to him. There is a power in voodoo for the people that are not protected by Jesus, by the power of Jesus in their life. And they're going to voodoo the whole world. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and of all who were slain on the earth. On the orders of the Antichrist and his governmental leaders, they will round up, hunt down, and murder everybody that does not take the mark of the beast or comply with the New World Order's demand that they worship the woman who rides the beast, to demand them to worship the idolatry of the world and to not worship the true God of the Bible. And it says here, in her, in this city, that's what they find. And it will have been a real killing spree. And I want to get, because chapter 19 should have been part of 18. I'm just going to get a couple verses here. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, and this is actually the song that I was alluding to earlier, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. This is saints of the past, tribulation saints, angels, cherubim. It's not the 24 elders. It's not the four living creatures because they come in later. And we're glorifying. When we're up there and we see the destruction of the world and Jesus ready to come back, rest of chapter 19, we're rejoicing. And people say, man, am I gonna be so bummed to see my relatives if they get judged by God? At this point, we're not. We're not gonna be. We're gonna be rejoicing that we're about to get given the heaven on earth to live with God forever and ever and ever. And the people that have rejected Jesus, we're gonna see it for what it is. They don't wanna be with us. And more than that, we actually don't wanna be with them. We want to worship Jesus unhindered without having to deal with people that hate our Jesus. And we're going to be rejoicing. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her, over the millennia shed by her. Again, they said, Alleluia, praise be to God is what that means. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And, hard to imagine a 1,000-year reign on earth. Okay, during the, a new heaven and new earth, we're going to still see the smoke of the judgment of Babylon forever. Well, what about when Jesus creates a new heaven and a new earth? What if he does leave a little window into the past to remember, this is what I saved you from, the torment of those who have rejected the true God forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne saying, Amen. So we're the ones rejoicing. And then the 24 elders and the four living creatures go, Amen. Let it be so. It is so. Then the voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both great and small. Will we do that? We do that. And we will do that forever. And I heard, as it were, the voice of the great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God, omnipotent, meaning all-powerful, reigns. Amen? And that is coming to this planet, whether the people who hate our Jesus like it or not. And I rejoice that it's going to happen. And we see the world getting so ready to be deceived by the Antichrist. We see the world getting so ready to embrace the final woman, the harlot that is going to be seducing through demonic spirits and lies seducing the inhabitants of the world. And you look around, and increasingly I'm seeing people want to be seduced. Even talking to this guy today, I mean, it's like, and then he confesses me to the end, okay, you're going to be moving. I'm doing this lunch thing now because you have to move now because long story. I said, would you please read the Bible? I've read the Bible. I said, but you didn't even know the story about the Exodus from Egypt. Well, you know, forgot. But I've also read this church, the book, the Satanic Bible. And I said, which one did you like the best? And he goes, they're both equal. Is there a problem there? There's a big, huge problem there. And this is after an hour and a half, 2 hours of discussing and just trying to, you know, praying with him, showing him, trying to reason with him and realizing, oh, how terrible. And it's like there's just this delusion. I realize this Satan has just gotten his little tentacles in there. And I see it so often. I see it so widespread in the world today. When you see these things begin, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. It's coming, saints. It's coming. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I rejoice in how you wrote it all down through your prophets so that we could know. That we know that you're the great God and Savior, and you're coming, and this world can have its heyday and its lust and pleasures, but those are temporary, that are going to all be destroyed in a blink of an eye. And God, I just pray by the power of your Spirit, you would help us to walk with you, to come out from her, to come out from this harlot system that deceives us. Even as Christians, Lord, we can be deceived into just being partly involved in things we don't even understand. And I pray you would help us, God, to be set free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand.
Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power. Thine, O Lord, is the glory and the victory. Thine, O Lord, is the majesty in you, our Lord of all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. You never change, you are Lord of all the earth. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power. Thine, O Lord, is the glory and the victory. Thine, O Lord, is the majesty and you, our Lord of all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. You never change, you are Lord of all the earth. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power. Thine, O Lord, is the glory and the victory. Thine, O Lord, is the majesty and you, our Lord of all. Thine, O Lord, is the victory and you, our Lord of all.
You know, we're actually really getting close to getting to the end. We always say to people, I'm happy, I'm joyful in Jesus. Why? Because I've read the last chapter. We're almost there. And that's what this song is saying. We know he's victorious, and we know how it ends, and we can worship him till he comes. Amen. God bless you.